ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week, the lovely and talented Goddess of Thunder, Lee. How you doing, Lee?
What's up, everybody?
Oh, that's my line. And right up there, I guess it's over there. I got to point this way. Right there, that's Janet Simmons. How you doing?
Hi.
Janet.
So Janet is in Canada right now. What's the temperature there?
It's about 0 Celsius. So what's that?
32 degrees here.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's close to the same thing it is here.
It's kind of cold here.
It's kind of cold. We're both in Georgia.
Oh, okay. Why is it so cold down there?
It gets cold here. People don't know that.
There's some kind of cold thing going down the coast.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you this. Last Christmas, and I don't know if Lee remembers this. Do you remember what the temperature was last Christmas, Lee?
No.
6.
Was it?
It was 6 degrees. It was 5 degrees one day, 6 degrees another, and 7 the next, and then it finally started going back up. But nobody's here for that. Thank you guys for being here. That's so good. So, yeah, today, coming this way is a drop, and we're going to have some rain. It's good to see you guys. You know why you're here. We talk about KISS. We have a good time. We're going to have a blast. But before we get to this book, we've got to talk about some news, and it's controversial.
Controversial
news. And so let's go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Two things. Let's go ahead and just go with the obvious. Ace Frehley has basically told Tommy Thayer to get in back of the bread line. I'm tired of this. Lee, are you tired of it?
I liked Ace's New Year's resolutions. Those were better.
The Ace's New Year's, do you have them?
I got to find them real quick.
Ace's New Year's resolutions. Okay.
I'll read them off.
Let's go ahead and talk about this. When you find it, let me know. Let's talk about this. So go ahead, read the resolution. Ace's resolutions.
In, get closer to God, practice more self-care, be more self-disciplined, and practice the guitar more. Spend more time with family and friends and focus on the positive. The outs are negative self-talk, clutter, unhealthy food choices, let go of toxic people, and allowing bad news to affect me.
Is this the Ace Frehley that we all know and love, or is this an impersonator?
Be his girlfriend. She does on social media. He's like, just put something up.
It's crazy. All right, listen, there's a ton of you guys in the comment section. I know you guys have a lot of questions. Hi, and you're all telling us hi. How are you guys doing? It's good to see you. Paul Beebe, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. Oh. He said it's wet there. It's good to see all you guys. Man, we got a lot to talk about, but Ace is, I mean, did he say this before he did his resolutions? Because, look,
so why what did he say exactly?
So basically,
there's so many things I've seen lately. I don't know.
Look, basically, it just sounds like he, to me, it just sounds like he's drumming up news. So when people go, oh, yeah, there's a newer Ace record coming out.
Yes.
And I get that. But for me, and maybe for you guys, and maybe a lot of KISS fans, for us, it would probably be better if you didn't trash anybody and just talk about how great the record is going to be. Janet, what do you think about that?
I'm so tired of hearing them trash back and forth. They've been doing it for decades, haven't they? They've been doing it, I think, from the second that Peter left. So it's like, we're tired of this. Just let's get on with it, make some music, and make the fans happy.
No, I agree 100%.
It's like a blabbermouth thing in my feed every day with Ace in it.
Like three or four times. Three or four times.
Ones.
Okay. Well, so if I could give Ace some advice, and I'm sure he's watching right now and listening.
Here's
my advice. I know that you're upset. Let's get in close here. All right, man. I know that maybe you feel like you've been mistreated and treated, you know, and definitely talked about unfairly. And I get it. I get 100%. I get it. But here's the thing now. I think that it's time to, you're getting closer to God. What That's would good. Jesus do?
Right.
Jesus would
forgive.
Forgive. So you in your next interview go, look, I've been thinking about it, and a prophet came to me, and his name was Joe. And he told me that maybe I need to follow Jesus's footsteps and forgive. Now, here's the thing. Some of you might think I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm just like, let's let it go now. Let's move on.
It's funny. I love Ace's drama. I think it's amusing as hell.
One thing I can say for sure, and I believe this, okay? Every Ace Frehley fan is proud of him for stopping drinking, proud yes. of him for stopping the drugs, yep. proud of him for doing more records and giving us music, which the other guys are not.
Keep it coming.
Just keep that. I promise you will sleep better and live better. And if you just brush it off, man, whatever they said, it's in the past. Let's move forward. And if there's anybody that disagrees with me, you can send an email to Janet Simmons right there and talk to her about it, because she is a philosopher, if you didn't know that. And she could really, you have your PhD in that.
I have my PhD in education, so I can educate people.
Yes, all about that.
I'll educate people about Ace Frehley. No, hold it. No.
I'll tell you what. I am now giving you a Podcast Rock City honorary degree in psychiatry, so you can help people that can't get over. Anyway, all right.
Is that psychology, I think?
Yeah.
Psychology.
Yeah, I think that's
what whatever.
All right, so you guys, I don't have a producer tonight. I will have a new producer next week. I think I'm going to hire a guy. Give me a name, Lee. Who are we hiring?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel. Oh, I met him last week. He was very nice.
I've been watching 6 Feet Under, so that's where I got that.
And he'll come in and work for us. So I'm going to do my best with your comments. If you got questions for Janet, once we start talking about the book, just make sure they're polite and that they're irrelevant. Keep in mind, the book is from 1950 to 1982. Okay.
To the end of Killers.
Killers, right. So anything that happened in that, but wait, hold your questions.
No, there's more news, isn't there?
There is. They're rolling through.
I know
they're
who you mean.
Okay. So, all right. So there's more news, and that is Bruce Kulick. Bruce Kulick.
Bruce.
I sent you
saying something.
Yeah. So Bruce, all of a sudden, in a strange way, it feels like
He was let loose.
It was let loose. And Bruce has basically come out and said, I was not invited to the show or invited on stage. Or any, basically,
he didn't want to just show up.
He didn't want to just show up. And I get it. But he also said, he also said that he does not feel like history was represented. And we have said this 100 times on this show. We agree. For those of you out there, think that it was a perfect show, that's fine. That's the way you see it. But we would have loved for the last show to be, didn't necessarily have to be a love fest, but it would have been fun, you know, to see a couple of the guys get invited on stage just to, even
or
if
a video or something.
Yeah, a video.
Or acknowledge them in some way, shape, or form. If they had turned around and said thanks to, and then did a, you know, the roll call.
Yeah, that just would have a video been montage, even. Something.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah. You know, oh my God, they could have put something together that would have been, that could have been 10 minutes long that they could have run before the show. And then instead of Led Zeppelin, and then when it was over, they could have started the concert with the bass thing and all that stuff. Yep. Anyway,
done it at the end. Whatever.
Yeah. Or done it
they
at the end.
They should hire you as a producer.
You know, I've said that 100,000 times. They really need a guy on their team that knows
need a homer.
To keep the people happy. All right. So, look, obviously all three of us agree that they should have They should have had more people there. So it's just I feel bad for Bruce because it sounds like he really would have liked to have been able to come.
Yeah, he sounded a little hurt.
Yeah. And now we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Bruce. Because it does feel all of a sudden like he's saying things that I don't believe he would have ever said.
Yeah.
A month and a half ago.
And he quit Grand Funk. So what's he quit doing next?
Grand Funk Railroad. And you guys that sent me the video of him, and the texts and emails and everything, thank you very much. I think that's pretty much it, you guys. Let's go ahead and, you know, we got a cool thing that we're going to talk about today, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going, that's the author right there. That's Janet. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to hold her feet over the fire with this.
Can I hold my book instead?
Oh yeah, go ahead. You can hold it. Yeah. Hold it up. Hold it up. Wait, so, all right.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
the book right there. Oh, so, all right. Okay. So this is the thing. We're going to go ahead and get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
I was sent on a mission. Life is a goal.
Now I'll tell you guys, if you guys have been, if you guys are watching on Facebook and you did not give, StreamYard permission, to use your name, I don't see it. However, I see that there's already a comment here that says, I have the book, just started reading it. Excellent read so far. Have a great show. I'll catch up tomorrow as it's midnight here in the UK.
Cool.
So good to see you. Thank you. You know, go to sleep. Get some rest. So obviously, there's a lot of Eric. There's a lot of Eric.
Everybody loves Eric.
Eric Carr.
I've never ever heard anyone say anything bad about,
right?
Well, except for one person, but we can get into that later. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about him.
I'll do it right now.
I'm really the second person.
All right, so let's talk about this. So, at what point did you decide I need to write a book about this? Is your first book?
This is my first book. Yeah, hey, how did start this come small. About? How did this all start?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, way, way back, when Eric got into KISS, I was an Eric Carr fan because he's like the underdog. So I'd always been, you know, an Eric Carr fan. I love drums because drums hold everything together. So fast forward to him in 1991, he dies. And I'm like, well, what happens now? And KISS came out with Revenge. And as I say, there's a lot of on-ramps and off-ramps in the world of KISS. There's some off ramps, like some people left KISS with Dynasty, right? And the Elder. I left after Revenge because to me, KISS never didn't have a heart anymore. And I thought there's something missing here. He's getting pushed under the rug. Something needs to be done. And I met up with someone called Vicky Theophanis, and she was running the Eric Carr Tribute Committee newsletter. I didn't know she was here in Toronto, and I said, oh, I'll sign up for the newsletter. Fine. And that got me even more into it. And you keep fast forwarding, and I'm getting more and more into talking to people about Eric's life. I'm talking to a lot of different people. We're producing this newsletter back in the day, and we folded it in the late 90s. But I still wanted to do something for him, because to me, the more time progressed, the more he got pushed under the rug, particularly when the reunion happened. It was like Eric disappeared. So I thought I got to do something. So I started really digging down and talking to a lot of different people, such as Bruce. I talked to Bruce a couple of times and a few other people. And I started pulling all of this together. It was just a work of passion more than anything, because his story needs to be told. He's such an underdog and so unappreciated that it just should get out there. So I don't know what else to say. It's just a work of passion because it's such a compelling story. He got a couple of lucky breaks. He struggled for 15 years, and then boom, you're touring the world. You're going to Australia. You're seeing all these things. And people were forgetting about it. It's like, no, the story has to be told. So that's where it all came from.
Cool.
Interesting.
Okay. So Okay, so
you I left you speechless.
No, no. Well, I want to make sure, because I have in my brain, I have things that I want to basically start at the beginning. So this book, tell everybody the entire copy.
I will do. I'm not going to do this too often because I hate doing this. But it is. Whoops. Let's get this right. It is. There it is. The Rise of the Fox, 1950 to 1982. And at the bottom it says The Extraordinary Life of Kiss's Second Drummer. And it is part of the Eric Carr Revealed series, Volume 1.
Oh,
so hint, hint, there's more.
We got more. We were wondering.
You got more. I can't just stop there. I mean,
no, there's it just means.
Right. So now one of the things that I, so the book is unauthorized.
Yes.
Does that basically mean, like, in order for it to be authorized, an Eric Carr authorized book, you have to go through the family?
That is correct.
Did you try that, or did you just say it's easier just to do it this way?
The first time I met Loretta, who basically runs everything to do with the Eric Carr, we'll just say legacy. I met her back in the 90s when I was went down there with Vicky for the Eric Carr Tribute Committee stuff. We were trying to put together a tribute concert, much like what happened for Freddie Mercury. And, well, that didn't happen. But anyway, we were trying. We were working with Loretta with that. And I asked her, you know, can I interview you? And she said yes, then no. And I've tried a couple of times over the years, and she just keep saying no to me. I connected with her a couple of times. I'm going to say a few months before the book was released. Are you sure? And she said no again. And that's fine. So I mean, you have the right to say no to an interview, right? So be it. So then I just had to put the word unauthorized on it. If she had talked to me, she may have added some really cool stuff in there. But then I look at it this way. She also had something to say in Greg Prado's book, The Eric Carr Story. Plus, she had something to say in the Tale of the Fox video. So we already know most of her, what she has to say. So I can incorporate some of those, not in direct quotes, but I can incorporate, you know, the sentiment of what she's saying into this book. But I can't, you know, do a deep dive into where she's at.
Okay. All right, Lee, get ready because I'm coming to you next. But here's my question.
What?
If you're going to, if somebody's going to write a book about my brother, don't I want to make sure that no matter what the book is, that I get an official statement in this way, no matter what, they know how the family felt or whatever, something like that. Don't. Why would they not want to? Do you have any idea why they would not want to?
I have no idea. I mean, ask Loretta. I mean, right. I can't speak for somebody else, and I'm not going to attempt to. You know, she had the opportunity, and she turned it. She politely turned it down, and that's that.
Well, I can tell you this: that I mean, I hear that she is, you know, a little nervous about talking to people, and I hear that. I've heard that quite a few times. So, I mean, that might just be part of it. I know that she's sweet when I've talked to her. I think that I've only done a couple. I might have been when I was in New York, I saw her at a KISS convention, and she may have answered a couple of questions for me, you know, online, you know, through my phone, but I don't think we've ever had her on, and we've been doing the show for over 10 years, but I don't think we've ever actually had her on. But moving forward now, okay, you started diving into Eric Carr,
yep.
Okay, like how deep does it get? Were you able to find out, like, did he, what was his favorite baseball team?
Yeah, where did you get the information? Like, where did you find it?
It's from all over the place, because I've been a KISS fan during the, you know, throughout the 70s, half the 70s, because I got into it in Alive, but then I missed Destroyer and really got hooked on them in Rock and Roll Over. So, and all through the 80s. And like I said, my off-ramp was Revenge. So during that time, you had lots of fanzines, and there was radio interviews and all this really cool stuff happening. And I just started collecting it. I was collecting everything.
Cool.
So, you know, if they had an interview in the very reputable 16 magazine, right?
Yes.
The editors wrote that, not them, for Pete's sake. Yeah. I was saving it because I wanted those interviews, because it was almost like I had a little bit of piece of them and I could understand them a bit more.
Yes.
So I kept all that kind of stuff. So when I'm diving into to write a book, now it's even more information. So I have cassettes of interviews that Eric did. Some of them are not online yet. So I've got that. I've got some, you know, obviously there's a ton of stuff on YouTube. I've got the fanzines. I've got all this great things. And then I have the interviews that I've done as well. So trying to pull all that together is like, wow, that's an awful lot of data. I'm sure glad I got that PhD and know how to sort all this out. So that's basically what it is. And, you know, today I was doing some writing for book two. I was doing some writing and I spent 2.5 hours just looking at different drumsticks to try and sort out what he was using at what time period in that tour. I mean, how many people are going to spend 2.5 hours looking at drumsticks, you know, just trying to figure this stuff out just so I can write one paragraph, you know?
Wow.
So to me, I want it to be as precise as possible. And that's why I have so many citations in it. I'm trained that way, you know, from the PhD and everything else. So cool. I have to cite what I do. And I find that's missing in so many biographies about a lot of people. It's like, they're going to say something. Well, where'd you get that from? So I want people to then read this and go, oh yeah, it came from such and such, you know, it came from Firehouse fanzine or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Or it came from somewhere. I don't know if they'll be able to find it, but it came from somewhere, you know.
Where it was.
Yeah, you'll never find it, but I have a copy. Yeah. So it's just trying to put all that together to actually tell the story. And the really interesting thing about Eric's story, it's everywhere. It's trying to collect it all and bring it together to put it into one space is very difficult, but it's a lot of fun too.
Wow.
Yeah. Lee?
So you started from his birth, basically?
Oh, the book? No.
Oh, okay.
You got to start the fun part. Because how many books, I don't know if you're a big biography reader, but how many books have you read that goes, and so-and-so was born on a dark and stormy night, you know, put me to sleep right off the bat. Right. Excuse Nobody me, cares. I'm snoring. No. So I started off with he's in Flasher, the band before he was in Kiss, and he just gets a job in Flasher. And now he's got to do some time in Flasher. He doesn't know it yet. I'll do, you know, 6 months or so in Flasher and what he's going through. And that lays the foundation of how he interacts with people in the band, how he gets to know about the audition and how he wins the audition, because that's what so many people are into. It's like, well, how did he do that?
We want to hear about the audition.
How old was he in Flasher?
He would be 29.
Okay, so he was
okay because his birthday is he's aging out of rock stardom real quick, right? And when he gets into Kiss, they just lop off a couple of his years. I think they said he was 27 because we've got to make him seem younger. Wow. So some people still don't know he's born in 1950, you know, the power of a coin management, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I start from there and I take you through the entire fun of going to Europe and all of the weird and wonderful things that happened there. I take you through Australia and yay, now we're going to get into the Elder, but wait, let's go back in time. So Scoot, we go back in time to 1950. How did you get to this point? And then I start to string everything together. And then it starts with, you know, dark and stormy night, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's talk about, he basically went and auditioned for Kiss because one of his friends said, hey, Kiss is looking for a drummer.
So Eric was in, well, he was known as Paul Caravello then, because Eric Carr, that was his name that he got when he was in Kiss. So Paul Caravello is slugging it out in the clubs, he's in a Long Island cover band. He starts that in December of 1979. And a few months later, the keyboardist, Paul Torino, says this band is going absolutely nowhere. He's doing a ton of networking and he winds up in a band that's doing a bit of a tour that on RCA Records. I don't know the name of the band off the top of my head, sorry. And so he leaves. So now it's a trio. And Eric's sitting there in a club in middle of June or beginning of June, and he's already handed in his resignation. This band is going nowhere. I'm done. I got to go find something else. And he's sitting in there just having a drink at the bar, and in walks Paul Torino. And they start talking. He says, come on back and tomorrow and see Flasher as a trio. So at this point, Paul Torino does not know that, you know, the spot in Kiss is available. And it's the next day or the next night at the club, Paul Torino tells Eric Carr, Paul Caravello, hey, I just heard about, you know, Peter Criss is leaving. They're auditioning. You better go do that. And can I swear on this show?
Sure. Yeah, you can.
He said, shoot me. Get out of here. Don't do that, right? And I can't do the New York accent or anything like that. But yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it, Lee. You can do it.
I'm from New York.
So he says, you know, stop shitting me. I don't believe you. And, you know, we found out, well, obviously that's not true. So he phones up Pacoin Management and says, what's going on? And they ask him a few questions. Great. I got to get this kit together. His kit, you know, he's got to get like his demo tape and some photos and everything together and his resume. But he doesn't know where he's going to do the demo tape. So he goes back to his friend, Paul Torino. And Paul says, oh, I got a friend. His name's Paul, by the way. Now we got three Pauls. How confusing could this possibly be?
Yeah.
Come on over. Let's go to this place called the brewery. And they cut the demo tape there. And then he delivers it basically a day late on an orange envelope. So because it was a day late and in the orange envelope, it winds up at the very top of the pile.
Ooh.
So when Jane Grode comes in the next day, she sees this orange envelope and thinks, God, the weight of this desk, it's going to collapse underneath all of these packages. And she listens to Paul Caravello's tape and goes, I think he deserves a phone call. So
wow,
that happened. Yep.
Think about that, though. In my life, if I'm late for anything, I'm just done. I'm not going to get anywhere. This guy gets an interview and an audition with Kiss.
Yeah. He was supposed to have it in on the Monday, and he gave it to them on the Tuesday.
And that's fate, though, right, Lee?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's fate.
Of course.
It's really funny. Doesn't Paul talk about fate in a doc? Yeah. I think in one of their DVDs or VHSs. Anyway. Okay. So he auditions for Kiss. We've always heard the rumor that he peed his pants.
I have not heard that.
Have you ever heard that, Lee?
I don't think I've heard that, Joe.
I've heard that
he peed his pants. He was too professional. He was too professional.
He peed his pants. I know he was nervous, I'm sure.
I don't know.
He said he was more nervous at the second audition. The first one, he thought, I'll just go in there and I'll do my best. And he walks into the audition room. And, you know, there's the guys without their makeup, and he says hi, and they kind of razz him a bit. So says Bill Acoin. He razzed him a bit. So they're giving him a little bit of a hard time to see if he probably fits with the rest of the personalities. Yeah, see if he can take it. I mean, can you live with this kind of, you know? Okay, well, there's the drum kit. Go set it up. And they got a video camera on it. We've never seen the footage of it, but there is a video camera on that kit. It was a maple double bass Ludwig kit, and he goes in there and he starts, you know, making sure everything's in reach and everything, and then off he goes and he starts playing, and then they figure out, hang on a second, I practiced the ones from Destroyer. I practiced, you know, Detroit Rock City from the Destroyer album, not the Alive album. He wasn't really a Kiss fan. Then they had to kind of work all that out, because he's going, excuse me, that's wrong. You know, and these guys were apparently really rusty because they hadn't played in a long time, like months. So it must have been difficult for any of the drummers going in there to go, hold on, these guys are playing they're a little rusty here. What's going on?
Right? Wow. So a different version. Been
difficult. Yeah, and a different version on top of it.
There's a lot of versions. I had a problem with that in the Kiss tribute band.
I don't think so that he peed his pants. I really don't.
We haven't heard that.
He was too professional for it.
Joe, where did you hear that?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up. I would have wore a diaper just to make sure that I was safe from that happening. How many auditions did he do before he was in the band? Was it two? And then they looked at him and they said, do you want the gig?
No, I didn't. That was way too easy. So he does the first one. And then they call him back for another one. That's where he finds out, you know, Bobby Rondinelli's there. And so he knows there's some competition. I'm reading the comment from Alex.
You guys, your questions are great. I'm holding them. They're coming. Don't worry.
Anyway, so then they call him back a little while later, a few days later, for an all-day audition just to see if he fits. But I can find no references or anything to suggest that Bobby Rondinelli was called back for an all day. So it looked like it was in the bag there. It's like, we got this, right? But apparently, according to Ace, if you read his book, He said that we almost agreed or something like that. It was almost unanimous, I think he said. So that means there's some dissension amongst it. And Paul Stanley has always said, like, I never really liked the double bass and blah, 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 blah. And so it may have been him. It may have been. So 2 out of 3 said, let's go with this Paul Caravello guy. And someone else, maybe not. But okay, we'll try him out. Because they were running out of time. Because they had the Mexican tour coming up in the scheduled for the middle of August at that point. They didn't know it, that the tour wasn't going to go ahead. But, you know, they got to get moving on it. They can't do tryouts forever.
Right.
Right. So, okay. So there's some questions here that I want to spit them in between that viewers are doing. Cause I, you know, Lee and I have a lot of questions. Sonny's not here. And I have questions from Sonny as well. Here's
how long is this show?
It's an hour.
We only have another hour.
We still have a half an hour. Okay.
Have
so,
an hour more.
Power Tom Kyle, formerly KS7507, says, haven't read the book yet, but question, did Kiss ever want Eric to play Pearl drums instead of Ludwig drums when he joined the band in 1980?
Not that I'm aware of, because it was up to the drummer to decide what kit they wanted, whoever it was. So it was Peter who decided he wanted to play Pearl drums, so he went for the endorsement with that. Eric, when he was in Flasher, had two kick drums, bass drums, and those were Ludwig's, and the other ones were the plexiglass ones. And off the top of my head, I can't remember what the name of that brand is. It's in the book somewhere. So I can't remember everything all the time. Sorry.
No, I get it. No, it's okay. I get it. It's 100%.
So it was up to him. So what they did is, I can just imagine them saying, well, go pick a kit. And he had the Ludwig drum catalog. And he went through it and picked the Octoset, which is 8 drums. And they have it in nice silver color. So off we go with that, right? So that's how he picked it. He was not forced to take any specific brand. It was up to him.
Oh, okay. Here's another question here from Alex Sandoval. This is a future question. Will all the volumes be published in one huge book eventually?
Okay, so this book, I have to look. It's 380 something pages. It's pretty quite big. Thick, right? Yeah. I'm not telling you how many books are in the series.
Oh.
Ooh. That's a surprise.
What? Yeah, I don't like surprises.
Don't you like surprises?
Is there a lot of photos in there?
There's absolutely no photos. It's all writing. Okay. I've heard people say, well, why not photos? I've had that on my Facebook page. And to license the photos, it gets more costly. And then I have to pass it on to everyone else. It's like, why? You can see them on the internet.
That makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and then I'd have
more
to try
stories
and
in there.
Yeah, I rather have the writing in here with the detail. And I do get into the detail of the hawk and how all that was created and then the different versions of it and how they tried it. And the same thing with the fox makeup and how that evolved. You can go on the internet and see those pictures. I don't have to go and track them down to add to the cost of the book.
Okay, so let's talk about now one of the things that I want to do, I know that you were on with our buddy Mr. Flythe.
I saw you down there.
So what I'm trying to do is I want you guys to watch that interview as well. So he'll post it on, it's on our Facebook page, and then it'll mix in here. I'm trying to stay away from questions. I know that you went into detail about the hawk makeup. And so Eric came up with the hawk.
No, Eric did not come up with a hawk. So what happened was in the middle of June, and we can go back to the Kiss of Life Forever book to see this one. Gene and Paul are sitting there in Lady Astor's restaurant, which is across from the street from where they're rehearsing. And they're batting around different ideas for who the next character is going to be. And I, the first time I read that, I went, that sounds really weird. Why would they do that? Because Gene Simmons, we know he's a demon. That's the inside, right? And I don't think there's any debate about Ace Frehley is the spaceman, because that's the inside.
Yes, they all created their own persona.
Right.
So why the heck are you giving them this next person, whoever that is, why are you giving them their own persona, a new persona? That, and I thought, oh, ding, 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 off goes the alarm bell. Something's not right in the world of KISS, right? So I started digging into it. And when I looked at the timeline, he was signed to join KISS on July 1st. He gets the phone call then. Okay, so but by the time he's becomes Eric Carr by his birthday, which is July 12th, he's already got the Fox persona and he's already changed his name. So a lot has happened in, we'll say, those past 11 days. Okay, because you're not going to come up with it the day before, not everything, right? So let's say he's got 11 days to go through. The Hawk isn't working. To the makeup's not working for the Hawk. The costume sucks. I mean, he looks terrible. Like a bird.
It was awful.
Yeah, he looks horrible.
It was awful. Right?
Oh, what are you thinking?
Big Bird.
Big Bird. That's it. And there's one picture there of him, and he's got this chest piece, and he's taken off the chest piece, and you can see these little wings sticking out the side like this, and It's not a cape. These are little like angel white wings. It's like, what are you thinking? Like, get your head red. It's not working. And Paul and Bill said the same thing. It's like, no, we got to start from scratch. So then it was left up to Eric to come up with everything on his own, basically.
Oh.
And he was backstage at the Palladium and just doodling around. He's trying to fix this thing. And he comes up with something that looks like a fox. And he turns to Gene and says, what do you think? And of course, Gene says, hey, it looks like a fox. I thought so too, right? And off they go. There you got the fox. But then you have different iterations of the makeup. And
right. If
you really look close, you can see that there's slight differences in the original makeup. Some of it doesn't dip down to the top of his lips and some's up here. You know, it's a little bit of a, you see, he's done it a few times.
An evolution.
Yeah, and each time I think it would probably be a different day because he's not going to put makeup on, get all dressed up and go do some photos and take it all off and do it again. That just makes no sense. So he's probably gone through this a few times and he had to get it together by the July 24th photo shoot with Rhian Rubinstein, who shot the cover for People Magazine.
People Magazine, right.
Yeah, and that's the first time we actually see Eric in his orange jacket,
so great,
fox collar, and his boots. Before that, there are photos of him in his black leotard, but nothing else, right? Well, except the makeup. So it was probably a rush to get those two pieces together. So how's that for a long story?
Well, that's okay. That's good.
I think that's why the fox is so cool, because then it ended up coming from his heart.
Oh, yeah.
He's telling him. You know what I mean? That's why it was so good.
Yeah, and I hate to get into the creature stuff, but they did the same thing with Vinny. Hey, go be an Ankh. You know.
Okay, so let me ask another question here. Lee, I'm coming to you, so get ready, okay?
I'm just blabbing in between.
No, it's okay. But all right, so now Eric was not a KISS fan, we know. And obviously by the time he's in Australia, he's heard all their music by then, right? And he's learned a ton of it. And okay, but my thing is that he joins the band. He tours to support a record overseas that he did not play on. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to come back to Australia in a second. But my one question I always had was, after they get off the road supporting Unmasked and they go into the studio to do The Elder, was Eric like, what the hell are we doing? This doesn't sound anything like the band that you keep making me listen to the A-tracks of.
What did he think about The Elder? One of my questions.
Well, they actually started getting into The Elder in February of 1981. So in January, he kind of, don't tell anyone, he broke his contract. He broke his KISS contract. And he was working with his girlfriend, Pantera, and they recorded three demos. And he was not allowed to do that. He was not allowed to record with anybody else. So he does that in January to the beginning of February. And then they start working at Ace in the Hole. Ace's, you know, studio.
Studio, right.
Yeah. So, Connecticut, right? And they can't get their shit together. They're not writing hard rock songs that are inspiring, I think Paul said. It's just not working for them. Eric had a couple of songs. Rock and Roll Prisoner was one that he worked on that didn't really make the cut for whatever reason. And then they decide, well, we got to do something. This is a bill of coin talking. We got to do something. The guys aren't working. They're not producing good stuff. How am I going to fix this? Because they have to have a new record out within a year of their last album. And that's part of their PolyGram contract. And they got to get on the ball here. So Bill Lacoin says, aha, I know who can fix this, Bob Ezrin. And I really question that. I really question Bob Ezrin. I think he's a fantastic producer. I would have gone to Eddie Kramer. That's my thought, because look what Eddie did. I mean, he did Rock and Roll Over. I love that album. He did Ace's solo album. I mean, this guy knows his stuff. He did what? The Kiss demo tapes. So they have a long history with him.
Right.
And of course, Alive, both Alives. So yeah, why didn't you go with him? But they went with Bob Ezrin, and Bob and Gene were in New York City in, I think, Gene's apartment, and they came up with the idea for The Elder. And they start working on that. They trashed everything that they've done in Ace of the Hole. Bob didn't like it. They paid off everyone and start from scratch again. And at one point, Eric did say to Gene and Paul and Bill, this is not working. This is Pink Floyd. What are we doing here? I want a rock band. And they basically said, you're so new at this and you work for us. Basically, you know, you're going to do this or you cannot do this. You know, how do you take that? Right. So, he's under contract to perform with them.
Right.
Do you want to perform or not? And who's going to throw a job like that away?
Right.
Right. Particularly as his contract is very interesting, because if he gets fired or he decides to leave the band, he cannot use the name Eric Carr. And this will come back to, you know, later on down the years. That's not his real name. He can't use it. Kiss owns his makeup. He signed that over. And he signed over his name, even though he came up with his name, along with his girlfriend Pantera, that they came up with that name. So what are you going to do? Throw away your dream job and then start working? What? He was repairing gas ranges, for Pete's sake. So he's going to go back to that? I don't think so. No. I'm going to record The Elder is what he's thinking.
Of course.
Right. So, Lee?
Yeah.
Wow.
Lee, you have a question?
I can't right this second. I'm just trying to think of something about creatures.
Okay.
No, you can't do creatures.
Oh, we can't do creatures. Yeah, when they're going into the story. That's when they're going in the studio. That's
so we don't have anything about creatures. In
right, no.
The next book will have
the next
book. Next book is creatures, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Now, so I heard that Eric was a big prankster. Do you have those stories in there?
A little bit. Sometimes when, particularly when he's working in his band prior to, his first band, the Sellerman. He would fix the amplifier if it's broken. Gee, here's the spare parts back, you know, and it wouldn't work.
Oh, my goodness. Like that. Pretty funny.
You know, things like that. He was very professional on stage, but off stage, he had a really good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. When he was younger, he was very, I'm going to say, shy, introverted, self-conscious, I guess like most teenagers. So it took quite a while for him to come out of his shell, and he still had some of that when he joined Kiss. So he progressed through the years after joining Kiss. He became much more confident and less shy. So he still remained professional when he was always doing the drumming and everything like that. But we all know he had some fun with Gene.
Yes.
For example, yeah. I got a couple of those stories in the next book.
Oh, good.
Okay. So let me ask about this, because obviously people want to talk about Australia as well. Mm-hmm. So let's go into a little bit of Australia. So here he is. I don't mean this disrespectfully for you Eric Carr fans, but before he's Eric Carr, he's nobody. And I only mean that. I only mean that in the fame world. So he's nobody. Then all of a sudden, he's Eric Carr. All of a sudden, he's playing the Palladium. All of a sudden, he's on the cover of People magazine. All of a sudden, he's in a 16 magazine. All of a sudden, he's on a plane going to Australia. This is a lot. This is a lot to happen.
Overwhelming. Okay? Yeah.
It's very much that movie. What's that movie with Dirk Diggler where he becomes a rock star? What's is it called? Rock star?
Boogie Nights.
No, the one where he's a rock star. The Dirk Diggler.
That's Rockstar.
Guy. Rockstar.
Dirk Diggler is Boogie Nights.
Same guy, right?
No.
He had the.
It's not. Wait, am I wrong? Oh, was Rockstar? Was Dirk?
Dirk Diggler is the porn movie. Anyway, but if you watch that movie, he goes in. It's shortened, of course.
Rockstar
he walks in.
Is amazing.
He auditions. He's like, they are like, you want the gig? And before you know it, he's sitting in front of the press you know, with a British accent and doing all this stuff. So was this completely like, did they have to train him how to act and how to be and what's his name?
No, 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 because he gets his job. He gets into KISS on July 1st. He's playing the Palladium on the 25th. And on the 27th, he's on Kids Are People Too. This is real quick. He's got to learn all the cues. He's got to learn the songs. He's got to rehearse with the guys. You know, he's got to know all that stuff. He was told, as Paul Torino said to me, he was told, just follow what they're doing. They're the stars of the band. So that makes absolute sense, mm-hmm. particularly as you're right at the beginning of that. But by the time he gets through Europe, and you can see that he does lots of band type interviews, so it's always the four of them. By the time he gets into Australia, he starts doing his own couple of his own interviews as well. So he's starting to branch out. They're starting to give him a little bit more room of his own, let's say. And that comes up even when he's doing The Elder, because when he's doing The Elder, Ace isn't around a whole lot to promote the album. And he's off doing his own interviews then. So at the beginning, I think it was like, we don't know if he's going to stick his foot in his mouth or his platform in his mouth. And, you know, and just hold on tight to him to see, make sure he doesn't fall off the rails. Right. So, and slowly, he was able to
develop trust. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now we've, so he's in Australia and he's, this is a big deal. You know, obviously they're not touring the U.S.
They don't have time.
Right. And so they're overseas, they're touring over there. What about his family? How did his family handle the fact that their son is now the guy on People magazine? They couldn't tell anybody, could they?
They couldn't tell anybody.
Were they under contract? Did they have to be?
It was the world's biggest open secret, for Pete's sake, because at the end of February 1981, he goes out to the premiere of Pirates of Penzance on Broadway, right? So he's at the opening night party or something like that, and he's got his face covered, but he's with Pantera. And this photo winds up in, I think it was the New York Daily News. Well, if anyone knows Pantera, they would go, oh, that must be Paul Caravello. You know, it's like, if you just opened your eyes, you would have seen it if you would have known them. Oh. So it was kind of like the world's biggest secret in a way for that group. But his family always said, no, we don't know who that is. That's not our Paul Carr. You know, that's not Paul. That's our car isn't Paul. And also Paul Torino said that he basically dropped out of sight. He, unless you were a really close friend of his, forget it. You'd never saw him again. So that's what he had to do. It's like you have a choice. You can either have fame and KISS, or you can have your previous life. And he basically shed all that. So the guys who were in Flasher and a lot of the guys that were in his previous bands, they never found out. You know, Bob Pryor, who was in the Cellarmen with him for, 5-6 years, whatever it was, 5 years, and knew him for some time afterwards, he wound up moving to Texas, and he never even knew that his bandmate became a member of KISS. Nobody knew. Right?
That's crazy.
Keep it under wraps.
So here's the thing though. I remember hearing an interview somewhere where it might've been his parents. They said, they went to see KISS in concert and they ran into a couple of his friends and his friends.
That was the Palladium.
They were putting it together. Like, why are you here? Unless your kid is up there. That's
no,
really
and their response was, and this is in the Tale of the Fox movie, DVD, whatever. And their response was, my daughter likes it. And there's Loretta, right? So he only had 6 gratis tickets. So it's the immediate family and the girlfriend. So that's it. And everyone's saying, no, it's not him. They did a really good job of it when you think about it. And you could never do anything like that today. Never have a KISS like that today.
No.
Wouldn't work.
Impossible.
So now there's a few things that are like controversial here that I want to make sure that I talk about because a couple of things that I'm going to talk about. One, was it true that Eric was always had a problem with the fact that he was not the original drummer in KISS?
I wouldn't say always. At this point, up to the end of Killers, no, he's just happy to be playing. He's happy to have a career. He's happy to be in KISS. So, he's feeling like he's won the lottery. That's fantastic. I mean,
so that stuff came after later on.
Yep.
Okay. So here's another thing. We have always heard that Eric joining the band gave Ace new life. It like pepped him up and it put him in a good mood.
Well, they got along well together.
Right. Okay. Yeah, can you Ace tell us something about that?
Well, all you have to do is read Ace's book. I mean, they're saying like they were friends. They got along well, but I think the compatibility was really in their music, because if you listen to Escape from the Island, that song rocks. I love that song. I still listen to it.
Yep.
And to me, that's the best cut on the album. They have that chemistry there. And it's, geez, I wish they'd done some more. And then Ace takes what turns out to be Breakout and goes on to his Fraley's Comet album, which winds up being Car Jam. But yeah, so these guys were working well together. So the chemistry there is they were hanging out. I think that Gene and Paul were more, you know, they're more buddy-buddy. And so therefore, who's going to be friends with the new guy? That's going to be Ace. Well, the problem is, you know, Eric doesn't do drugs and he's a social drinker and that's about it. So yeah, they can't be that kind of buddy-buddy. And Ace and Eric both said, you know, I'm not that kind of person. It's not me, right? So they can only go so far with that buddy-buddy thing because they're not going to get prepped all the time.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, so we have a few questions here, and I want to make sure that we get to them because we love our viewers. Rock and roll. All right, I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, so here's a question. It says, is it true he was not allowed to play on one of Ace's solo records? I don't know
far in the future. That would be 1987.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
That year. You're going to look
into
that.
The answer to that is, and I'm not going to go into it, but the contract would not allow him to.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right. Let's see. Let's see. I'm just trying to find.
Is that a little picture from Phantom? I see those hands on the buttons there. You know?
Yeah, that's for Phantom. Listen, while I'm looking for questions, tell me about your tour through Kistery. You said that you pretty much got into the band in Rock and Roll Over. Now, forgive me for this, but how old were you when that record came out?
Oh, come on. A lady never gives her.
What? Lee, how old are you? Okay, I'm kidding.
29.
See? All right, so here's my
question. For another month.
Yeah. All right, so you dove in head first like the rest of us.
I was a big Elton John fan. The theatrics behind that. Yeah. And Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, I've only worn out two albums in my entire life, and that is Goodbye Yellow Brick Road and Kiss Alive. I wore the album
I wore down. Out Captain Fantastic.
That's a great album too.
Wore it out.
Yeah. And the little booklet that came with it. That's so cool.
Yes.
Yeah. We can talk that. So I got into it. It was a Friday. On Fridays at school, you could bring in albums and someone brought in Kiss Alive and you listened to one cut, but I wasn't listening. I was looking at the booklet with my eyes and I was going, wow, this is so much better than Elton John. Yeah, this is great. I can't remember what song they were playing, but then, Rock and Roll Over came out and they were playing Calling Dr. Love. It was on heavy rotation here in Canada. And I had to get that. It was just such a good hook. So yeah, I got that. So I missed Destroyer. And it's really, Destroyer is not to me a fantastic album. And people are throwing tomatoes at me right now for saying that. But to me, there's some filler in there that need not be there. But yeah, I got hooked on Rock and Roll Over and just carried all the way through until Revenge.
Here's a good question. And they've all been good, but I'm running out of time. Did Eric have a mustache when he auditioned?
No, because he went into the interview and he got the interview with Bill, and Bill said, if you get an audition, that mustache has to come off because he will never be able to visualize you with makeup. So before he went into the audition, off came the stash.
Wow.
So, all right, Sonny's not here because he had to run out to work. But he wasn't supposed to work, but he did give us some questions. So I want to go ahead and ask a couple of these, as long as I can.
Actually. I want to know if you met Eric in your life.
I never met Eric. I tried a couple of times because Kiss played just about every tour. They came through Toronto.
Yeah.
Except for Animalize, they didn't come through that year. But, you know, I'd hang outside Maple Leaf Gardens going, is anyone coming out the back door?
No.
Now I'm thinking that I should try and track down the hotel and go into the bar because that's where I'm at. I didn't know that.
Here's a good one from Sunny. So basically it says the psychological effect of basically becoming a character and leaving your past behind must have been crazy for Eric to go through.
Yep. Yeah. What was the question?
That's the question. What was it like for Eric? Was he like, was it tough for him to now become, to throw Eric Caravello away and become this other guy?
I don't think so, because at one point he said that he didn't mind changing his name because his previous name of Paul Caravello hadn't gotten him very far. Oh. So from that, we can extrapolate that perhaps it wasn't that difficult for him. And hey, if someone were to throw your dream job at you and say, by the way, you have to change your name, forget about everybody, blah, 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 I'm sure you'd do it.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I've always wanted to do. This is what I've been working at for the last, you know, 15 years or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they ever asked him, hey, to wear the Catman makeup first? Or do you think
they couldn't, because Peter still owned it. So they would have to either get his permission or license it. And I don't think they were about to do that. Also, we can go back to the Kiss Alive Forever book. And from there, we know that Gene and Paul were talking about possible characters. So the Catman was not part of it.
Okay, so Elder comes out. It doesn't do all that great.
Yeah, sunk after 11 weeks.
Yeah, done after 11 weeks. How? Mm-hmm. So was he worried at this point? Man, I'm in and now I might already be ending.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone was at that point. And it's like, we got by the end of March of 1981, Ace had said, I'm done. I'm leaving. Have a nice life, Kiss. I'm moving on. So now they're going to breach their contract. And this is where it's going to get really messy because they've just come off of a really bad album. They're in debt to the tune of about $2 million to the record company. Record company's not making any money, and they just bought Casablanca out. So, you know, Kiss was supposed to be their moneymaker. Not happening. So what's going to happen? That's basically where the book ends. They've done Killers because they've recruited Bill O'Coin, recruited Michael James Jackson in February. So they're already looking ahead. They know that they can't tour with the Elder if they're already looking for a producer at that point. So let's get things going is what happened. They had to get that album out. And they put out the Greatest Hits, the Killers album. And what they were basically testing to see if Michael James Jackson was going to suit what they needed to do. I still don't understand why they didn't go to Eddie Kramer, but I'm going to just keep repeating that over and over again.
So Eric being a hired gun, basically, that's all he was. Was that the way it was all the way through his career? Did he ever?
Every 5 years, he signed a new contract.
Okay. Oh. So here's a good question then. So he had no say in anything that was going on, or did they ever ask him? Because like a fourth wheel, like, oh, I'm here, but if they tell me that we're gonna do this, I just have to do it because I signed this contract.
But you've got to remember that things really changed in the world of Kiss after the Elder. You've got Ace is gone, Neil Bogart's dead, right?
Right.
And that was a throwback to the past for them, and they fired Bill O'Coin. They are treading water. They're about to go down. So, you know, what are you going to do? You got to fight and move forward with it. So Eric's contract, which he had to renew every 5 years, he would probably still be paid out for that 5 years. But when that's done, and if Kiss is done, then he's done because he's going to be Paul Caravello. Oh, hi, I'm a professional drummer. You're who?
Right.
What are you? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, it's just a lot for me to deal with. It's like how did they not hear this guy play drums? How did they hear him play drums and not go, we have a badass John Bonham style drummer? How is it that we're putting out his first record, The Elder? How is it that they're, you know
it
what I'm saying?
It doesn't matter about the drummer. The drummer's the hired hand. Right. I mean, they even replaced him on I and Odyssey. That's not Eric playing those two.
Right.
Songs.
Who's playing on? That was a question.
Alan somebody, Schwartzberg.
Yes.
Somebody Alan asked that question. They wanted to know what. How did he feel about that?
We don't know. He never said anything about it. But you can only surmise that he was not very happy. Looking back at it, when I've seen him do the live version on Fridays, he did I. He could handle that without a problem. And in Greg Prado's book, The Art Car Story, Bob Ezrin says, I just don't understand it. I don't know why we didn't use Eric for that. You know, so I don't know what was going on. But the interesting thing about Alan Schwartzberg is he was the drummer for a band called Bionic Boogie. And that was a band, that was a studio band. It was a disco band. And Paul Caravello at the time, the band that he was in, was hired to be Bionic Boogie, the touring version. So really, you have Alan Schwartzberg on record and Eric Carr, well, Paul Caravello at the time, touring. And now we have the same thing happening in The Elder. We got Alan playing drums there, and Eric's playing his part on Fridays. Go figure.
That's crazy. Yes. All right, listen. So we have to do a couple of things. First of all, obviously, everybody that's watching and listening right now knows that they can get this on Amazon, right? All they have to do is type in what?
You can type in my name, which you can see on the screen there. Or you can type in The Rise of the Fox, and it will be there. It is also going up on Barnes & Noble. It should be up this week. It's actually up for sale right now, Barnes & Noble, but they're having trouble with the thumbnail. So hopefully they'll have that sorted out.
What about an audiobook? Are you thinking about doing that?
Not unless you got about $8,000 to spend on an audio actor, actor. So that's just so not happening. No. Yeah. So, it's in paperback hard. Pardon me?
Joe will read it for you.
I can't read, though. Everybody knows I don't know how to read. Okay, so
An ebook, a hardcover, and paperback on Amazon worldwide.
Here's a good question. How you already started research for the next book?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost done.
83 to when?
86. When? Hold on. Kiss Exposed.
Okay.
What was that? 86?
Like 86.
86,
I think. 86, 80. Yeah. Anyway. So I know this is ahead of time, but let me ask you this. Are you finding any, and obviously you're going to, this is just a tease. Okay. But did Eric ever give any pushback about makeup coming off, or did he ever give any pushback, like anything? Was he just a yes man, or did he ever go, I don't think that's a good idea?
You have to remember his place, because he has the contract, right? He has that contract. And as Kiss evolved, his position and power within the band also evolved. Can I leave it at that? And just hanging on the edge, like you're clinging there going, where's book two? I got to read it, find that answer.
Absolutely. That's why they call it a tease. All right, listen.
I think AJ White asked if she met Eric, but I already asked that.
Never met.
Was that your question, AJ? Did she meet Eric? And she did not get to meet Eric.
No, unfortunately, because I would have been there with a microphone in front of his face. Going, I want to talk to you.
All right, listen. So you guys hit up Amazon, hit up Barnes & Noble. That's what you said, right?
There we go.
Purchase the book. I had a friend, my buddy Joe Ciambelli, sent me a message yesterday and said that he could not wait to hear the interview that he had. Here it is right here. He's even showing me. You can't see it, he purchased the book. And he was super excited. So you guys all get the book. And then if somebody wanted to email you, can they email you with questions?
Yeah. The best way to get a hold of me is through the Eric Carr Revealed Facebook page. Cause I'm on there a couple of times a day. I'm always posting. I post a couple of pictures usually a day. I'm on there all the time. So Eric Carr Revealed Facebook. Yep.
And when you see her ask questions, I know we didn't get to all your questions. We only have an hour and we got to throw it all in there. Thank you very much for coming on. I hope you had a good time.
I had a wonderful time. Can I come back for book two?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Wonderful.
Of course. Yeah, it's always
I'll try to read it both of them before.
Okay. So once again, all you guys that had questions and everything, I'm sorry I didn't get to all of them. But, you know, like I said, we only have an hour. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. If you guys are hearing this after the fact, man, you guys are awesome. Don't forget that we have a Patreon and you can join it for free for a week and check out all the stuff that I've been adding. I even posted the video this week of Lee on Fan Club. VH1 Fan Club. You can watch the whole episode. Yeah. It's online and you can see Lee.
From the year 2000.
From the year 2000. What was that TV? Anyway, I know what it is. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. He had a Conan O'Brien. Anyway, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. There's a lot of you guys that are on the YouTube page now. And then there's a few of you that aren't. Go to the YouTube page. There's lots of extra stuff on there as well. And check out the Patreon. Just go to Patreon, type in Podcast Rock City. You can follow us even without joining. And every once in a while, I put something special on there for everybody. But if you want to do it for free, you can do it for free. And you can do it for free for a week. That's really all the sales I do. It helps us. We make a little bit of money. And it helps us pay for all this stuff, which, by the way, is fucking expensive.
You told me I couldn't swear.
No, I said you could.
You can swear, damn it.
I said you could.
Dennis.
And I'm just – listen, when – I'm not complaining that it's expensive. I don't care. I'm just saying it is, and we pay for it. It's not a big deal. All right. I love you guys, and we'll see Janet. Thank you. And by the way, it's Janet Simmons, Simons.
Not Simon.
Lee, do you have anything to add?
No, that was a fun show, and I can't wait to get the book. I got to get it, and can't wait.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
And you know what I'm going to say? We love KISS and we love KISS podcasts. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
KISS!
It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growingUpRock.com.
That's growingUpRock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.